This is Olive, and I'm 11 years old, and I live in Southside.
This is Cooper, and I'm 4 years old.
This is Elena. I'm 13 years old and live in Spickley.
This is Julian. I'm 14 years old and live in Highland Park. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Welcome back to the Kidsburg Podcast. We're glad you're here with us. We have the fun of interviewing remarkable people and sharing their thoughts with you, and also filling you in on Pittsburgh gems, cool places you might not know about, but you and your kids will love. I'm Kidsburg's director, Yuling Chang, and I'm here with my friends and coworkers, each of them a parent just like me.
Hi, everybody. I'm Melissa Rayworth. I'm the editor at Kidsburg.org, and I cannot wait to dive into this episode. Along with an inspiring interview and details on a Pittsburgh gem, we'll also get honest intel from local teens as they answer a question that parents just might be curious about.
Yeah, those Tea with Teens segments are always enlightening. I'm Christine Sorensen. I anchor the news at KDKA-TV, and I'm a Kidsburg producer, and I'm so excited to tell you about today's Pittsburgh gem, Ohio Pyle State Park. This is one of my favorite places to go with my family and my husband and three kids. We go at least once a year, and not only is it one of the absolutely most beautiful scenic places you're going to see in all of not just Western Pennsylvania, but really the country, it's also a fun place where you can be active. So we like to rent bikes when we go out there, and there's a wonderful rails to trails, so it's a nice, easy, flat bike ride, which we've taken when the kids were little and we towed them behind, and now they're old enough to ride their own bikes, and then we'll get some ice cream and maybe some hot dogs. But really, the spectacular thing is the Ohio Pyle Falls. It's this 20-foot waterfall that is just spectacular. It is so beautiful. And as if that weren't enough, you can just drive up the road and do a short little hike down some steps and see another waterfall. This one's 30 feet. You can even walk behind it. It's so cool. And if it's warm enough, there's a natural water slide. You know those kinds where you slide down on the rocks
and hope not to get too bruised.
But kids love it. And then in addition, if you want to do more, there's hiking, there's zip lining, camping, mini golf, all kind of things. And it's just a cool little mountain town with a cute little vibe. And it's just one of my favorite places to go.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. And I love that it's really not that far from Pittsburgh.
Right. It's an hour to an hour and a half.
I've taken my family there as well, and we loved it. And I have young kids, and I just remember it being very family friendly. You felt very safe. There were restrooms nearby, so it's perfect. It's a great day outside. Events happening at Ohio Pyle State Park often pop up in the weekly and monthly guides that you'll find at kidsburg.org. And you can find a link to exploreohiopyle.com at our website, kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
One of our favorite things about producing the Kidsburg Podcast is being able to talk with people who do fascinating jobs and who think a lot about how to share helpful ideas and make life better for kids and families. Our next guest is Chris Loggins, supervising producer for Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, the beloved PBS Kids show from Fred Rogers Productions. If you have preschool age kids, you probably know about this animated show that follows the experiences of little Daniel Tiger, a character who first appeared as a sweet and gentle puppet named Daniel Striped Tiger on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. We're excited to talk with Chris about how Daniel Tiger's adventures can help young kids learn about their emotions, and also how the short live-action segments during Daniel Tiger episodes put a special spotlight on cool places in Pittsburgh. Chris, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So just like those of us who watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood decades ago were fascinated to see him explore real-world places in Pittsburgh, the kids who watch Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood today get to see live-action segments where kids from the Pittsburgh area explore and learn about local places and businesses. What inspired your team to include those segments in the show, and what do you like about them?
Well, as you said, it was something that was very present in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. The word neighborhood is right there in the name of the show. And Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is inspired directly by Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. So right from the beginning, we wanted to highlight our neighborhood in addition to the new animated stories. So we decided very early on to go out and film in our community. If you remember, in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, often Mr. McFeely would come by and he'd have a video to play showing how people make things. And Mr. Rogers himself would often go out into the community and meet neighbors doing really interesting things to help kids see all the things that people in their neighborhood and community do and hopefully inspire them in doing so. So we're approaching it from that same angle in Daniel Tiger's neighborhood. We produce the show here in Pittsburgh, so naturally we film all these segments in and around Pittsburgh, and we feel very honored and privileged to do so. And we work with kids and people in the community. They're not actors, they're real people. We have visited several locations that people know who live here, and I always love hearing from viewers when they find out, you know, that I work on the show, saying like, oh, I saw my library, or I saw my favorite pizza shop on the show. So we're really delighted to highlight all that Pittsburgh has to offer.
There is such pride when you see your local community place being highlighted on the show. And I also learn things when I watch. So in addition to highlighting community assets, what do you find valuable about giving kids who watch Daniel Tiger an opportunity to see other kids just like themselves on screen?
We're always thinking of doing everything we can with the resources that we have to help make sure all children can see themselves positively represented in our shows that we make and in the media in general. So we're thinking about that in the animated show, but also in these live action segments. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to work with our community to make sure we're representing a diverse cross-section of everyone who lives here and giving children at home that opportunity to feel that connection, like, oh, I see somebody who reminds me of me or my neighborhood. And in addition to going to interesting places, public spaces, we also are filming in homes with children and their families. One approach that we take to the interstitials, so there's two approaches, really. There's one that's similar to what Mr. Rogers did, and we have children wearing the red sweater. We call them sweater kids, and they go out and meet people and learn about what they do and have a conversation. But we have another version where we have very young children using the strategy. So the strategy is that repeatable song that appears in every episode. For example, for sharing, there's a song, "You Can Take a Turn and Then I'll Get It Back." And we show kids using that strategy in the video. So it's a sort of way of reinforcing how children and families can use these messages in their daily lives in that way.
So parents are realizing how they can sort of practice some of these things with their kids, and their kids are seeing real kids actually do this. The live action segments, they sort of serve as postcards from Pittsburgh. You're showcasing special things about the city, not just for viewers in Pennsylvania, but for people all around the country. What have been some of your favorite places that kids have gone during these live segments?
I've been with the show since before it premiered, and I've always had an opportunity to work closely on these interstitials. Now I'm directing them and producing them. So it's like I want to make sure I'm talking about every single one. But some of the favorites that come to mind, we have an episode of Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood that is all about what happens at nighttime in the neighborhood, something children might be curious about, and also something that Mr. Rogers approached in Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood as well. And the strategy of that episode is, let's see what's special at night. And you learn how things continue on at night even while you're sleeping. But we got the opportunity to do an interstitial that took place at nighttime. And it was a nice nighttime car ride throughout the city. The little girl named Evie and her family. We went through Shadyside and East Liberty, seeing some of the businesses like bakeries that, you know, are working in the night. And the whole thing ended up on Mount Washington. And you have this beautiful view of the city from up on Mount Washington at nighttime. And it just so happened that the Pirates, I think, were having a game that night. So we had some nice fireworks as well. So that's just a beautiful imagery in that one of our city. And speaking of Mount Washington, we also visited the incline and met with an incline engineer and learned how that operates. We've also worked with many of the schools around the city. I remember in the first season, we worked with Kappa, the performing arts school, and we did a really neat interstitial with the students there that were studying, you know, various instruments, and they showed their instruments to the younger kids. And it was a nice way to get older kids and younger kids interacting together. We are also in homes around the Pittsburgh area. These are real kids. They're not actors and their families. And, you know, you can name a neighborhood in Pittsburgh. We've probably been there. I've had people who work in TV, you know, tell me like, oh, wow, you know, when I watch the show, I just really love how real and authentic the interstitials look and feel. And we approached that intentionally. We wanted to feel like we're depicting the people of our neighborhood and the things that take place here in a very authentic way. The longer the show is on, more and more people in Pittsburgh can say, oh, you know, I was on the show.
Wow, that is very Pittsburgh. So out of curiosity, where do you find these local kids that get involved in filming these segments?
So we've approached this in different ways. Typically, we work with local early learning centers, schools, and community centers. We partner with them and say we're interested in finding kids. Usually, we're looking for kids in that 4 to 8 age range, and they allow us to come in and meet with their students and people that come to the organizations, like if it's a YMCA or something like that. And we do a little bit of in-person interview first. And then, you know, we have what's called a callback, where we call back kids to come and do an on-camera audition. And again, they're not actors, they're just real kids from the community. One season, we did do an open casting call where we went to local YMCAs and community centers and said, we're going to be in your neighborhood. Anyone who's interested in appearing in Daniel Tiger's neighborhood, this is where we're going to be there and you can meet with us. That was pretty successful as well. This past season, we worked with an early learning center, the Pittsburgh Public Schools, a couple private schools in the area, and the Children's Institute holding auditions for this most recent season.
That's so cool. So this most recent season began in August, and for many families with young kids, it is just, it's a favorite resource for working on social emotional development. What advice would you have for parents who might watch the show with their kids and they're looking for ways to really help their kids absorb and build on the messages that the show shares?
If parents and caregivers are able, is to sit down and watch the show with their children. I know that's not always easy, but we are always thinking about co-viewing when we're making the show. We try to have a little bit of humor in there for the parents, but I do think that Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood is one of the more sincere shows on television, and we're making it specifically for that 2 to 4 year old who's watching. But the hope is that parents and caregivers can then take what they've seen on the show and talk about it later. And, you know, whether it's a skill like trying new foods or a social skill like sharing, they can talk about it and maybe talk about how Daniel approached it and how they can approach it in their lives. And in that way, the show lives on outside of the television. But the amazing thing is, you know, that's my suggestion, but we hear so often from parents, you know, writing into us. And by the way, this is my favorite part of my job, is receiving emails, letters, social media posts from people who watch the show and say, you know, what it means to them or how they've used it in their lives. And all the time we hear from parents and caregivers saying, you know, we were at the playground and my son or daughter, my child started to sing this song. I didn't know what it was. Then I realized it was from Daniel Tiger. So we hear often about kids using these strategies on their own. Or another fun thing is when we hear from people about, you know, how they watch the show, but then they make up their own songs for different situations that they have in their family. So that's always fun too.
In our family, we still talk about the smushy cake from your first season.
And yes.
It's a great episode. It's where a birthday cake gets smashed by accident, right? And you can imagine a child's disappointment. And so when disappointment happens in our family, we're like, it's a smushy cake. Think about that. And it's great. I have a question for you, Chris. So many of the kids listening to the Kidsburg podcast may be thinking about the kinds of cool jobs they like to have when they grow up. And making a show like Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood sounds like a really fun and meaningful job. Was this the kind of job you imagined doing when you were a kid? And what was your path like to your job?
I don't know if I imagined doing this work when I was a kid, but I know that I always really did love stories and storytelling. I was an avid reader. Both of my parents were teachers. My mom was a teacher for her entire career, and my dad served in the Army, and then after he retired, became a teacher. And my entry point to this work really was wanting to do something with children and families. And I think I picked that up from my parents working with kids as teachers. I didn't study, or I wouldn't say I actively pursued a career in television, but I pursued my interests and my passions. And I knew that I wanted to do something that would be impactful for children and families. I came to Pittsburgh and I started working for an organization called Beginning with Books, Center for Early Literacy, which was a nonprofit that was all about getting books and literacy resources to children and families in the community. And while I was there, I drove the Storymobile, and that was really my introduction to the city. I'm not from Pittsburgh. I hope I can consider myself a Pittsburgher now. I've been here for many years. But my introduction was driving that Storymobile, going into all the neighborhoods around Pittsburgh, and kids could come on to the little mobile library on wheels. They could come on, check out books, and as long as they brought their books back the next time I was in their neighborhood, they could check out more. And I did some programming also when I was in their neighborhoods, crafts and activities. I would set up a table. I also coordinated a volunteer program while I was there. But again, I knew also I had this interest in media. So I started working also with WQED, which is our local public television station. I worked in development there, raising money for the station. I knew that Fred Rogers Productions was on the second floor. It was called the Fred Rogers Company at the time. And I had this interest, you know, in working with children and families. So I really just started to get to know people there as I was working with WQED. To keep things kind of short, right around that time, they were just starting work on this new show, Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, and needed some help with the production. And fortunately, I was asked to help out and have been able to grow with the show.
It's such good advice for kids that you should not only pursue the things you love, but talk to people. If you see people around you doing stuff that sounds really great to you, like if you had never introduced yourself and started talking to the folks in that office, they wouldn't have been able to ask you to help out.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, I didn't think about this until just now, but hopefully in a way we can expose children through these live action segments to, like you said, these different things that people, grown-ups in their neighborhood do, and maybe inspire somebody to pursue it further and talk about it maybe with their parents or people in their neighborhood and community.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. We love Daniel Tiger, and we just really appreciate that you guys are sharing so many ideas and these wonderful songs and strategies that kids and grown-ups can use.
Thank you so much. I really appreciated being on the podcast. And I would also just like to take this opportunity to thank everyone who's been a part of the show over the years for giving their time and space to us to film them. And hopefully we've been able to portray Pittsburgh in the best possible light. Like you said, we think of these as little postcards from Pittsburgh.
Well, I love the connection between when I watched Mr. Rogers and now Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood and how they're still using Pittsburgh as kind of part of the show itself. That was so fun.
It really is cool. And I mean, it's interesting to think that as a parent, I don't think I would have thought of this. Those segments where you see real kids going out and exploring places, it makes you realize that as a parent, you really could take your kid out into the neighborhood and maybe ask folks at a local business, could I bring my child by at some point, and can you talk to them about how you do what you do? I mean, there's so much that kids can learn, and I think it also helps adults working in the community realize that they're appreciated.
And I'll just add that when Chris shared about his career path and he said, you know, get out there in the community, go out and meet people, ask them questions, right? I mean, it all builds together beautifully from the show to exploring your community to curiosity and wonder and asking questions. I thought he had great advice for us.
Well, me too. And he clearly loves what he does. It's kind of wonderful to talk to someone who has so much delight in the work that they do.
Well, you can see more stories about the impact of Fred Rogers' work on the many ways that parents and kids are learning from him today, and also hear about what's new at PBS Kids in the articles you'll find at kidsburg.org.
And in a moment, it's time for Tea with Teens.
You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
Generations of parents grew up lugging backpacks full of textbooks and flipping through encyclopedias and reference books to do research. Life is very different these days. So in today's Tea with Teens segment, we ask local teens what they think about spending so much of their school day with digital tools and how they feel about books that they can actually hold in their hands. Here's what they said.
I feel like the online platforms are helpful because they might have information a teacher wouldn't know, and they might be like easier to help you out in different ways.
It could be better because you can type faster, and since there's more tech going on in the world at school, you're gonna need more tech than plain paper.
It's kind of good to be able to have good handwriting, so when it comes to being electronic, I feel like I don't get as much practice and my handwriting isn't that really good. So I feel like it would be good to have paper books to write in.
You can save more stuff on digital instead of paper. You can lose it.
You know, you can't get caught up in the like oh, things are left at school, or I misplaced a piece of paper, or I don't have my homework assignment. Especially when we can submit things digitally and remotely, it's like, there are amount of times I've caught myself like on my bus ride home remembering I didn't submit something, and then I like snap a picture of it with my phone and upload it to Google Classroom. Has saved me from those like due at 4 o'clock late deadlines.
From the Youth Media Center at SLB Radio, this is Megan.
Angel.
This is Penelope.
Brian.
This is Angelina.
Wow, we covered a lot in this podcast. This has been so much fun. Let's do it again.
Good, because we have a lot more to talk about.
And we hope you'll come back for more inspiration, places to visit, and what kids are thinking. And until then, you can get so much more great info for families at kidsburg.org. And be sure to subscribe to the Kidsburg podcast so you are the first to know when the next one drops. We hope you and your kids enjoyed this.
This is Rocco. I'm in 7th grade and homeschooled, and this is the Kidsburg podcast.
On the next Kidsburg podcast, we talk with multiple medal-winning Olympian, Pittsburgh-born Lauren Williams. Plus, we take you to Boyce Park, Allegheny County's hidden gem for downhill skiing, and we spill the tea with teens, getting their thoughts on how adults can help them build their futures and pursue their dreams through sports and after-school activities.
Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org to learn about the resources and advice from local experts that can help all kids have the best opportunity to thrive.